Heavenly Father, we do bow in prayer and thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth. And thank you what you reveal to us about yourself. And thank you that you cause us to respond. Now we pray this morning as we consider the great truth of Psalm 116, that the Holy Spirit will be present with us and to go from heart to heart and take this truth off the page and into our hearts and minds and cause us to respond even as David did about the truth he wrote. Do your work of grace in our hearts and take authority over our lives as we give ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 116. I love you, Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol or hell laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will live before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I give to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. That last phrase there is the word hallu, which where we get our word hallelujah. So he ends this psalm, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. Now he begins the psalm with this wonderful testimony, this direct declaration, I love the Lord. What a marvelous thing that is, and I wonder if we say and think that often enough. Who have you told lately, I love the Lord? Or who senses that from you, that you're a person who loves the Lord? I love the Lord. And when you think about it, this is the expression of affection and of devotion, and it is the great commandment. There's the discussion about this in the New Testament. What's the most important commandment? What's the greatest commandment? And people gave testimony, I've kept all the commandments. But their attention was called to the great commandment. This is it. This is first. To love the Lord with all your heart, strength, and soul. That's it. That fulfills the rest of it. You can go through all the motions of all the rest of them. But if you miss this one, you've missed the very thing that God calls upon us to do. To love the Lord with all heart. And after all, this may be the very evidence of salvation. Do you question your salvation? Then ask this question. Do I love the Lord? Yes, because he first loved me. Let's say it together. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. If we remember nothing else about this Sunday morning, let's catch that and leave here with this testimony. Now, we know we love him because he first loved us, but David lists some reasons. Here are genuine reasons. And David's standing here this morning. We say, David, why did you write this? How can you say, I love the Lord? Well, he'll give us some reasons. It's indicated by the word because. Because is a reason. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. That is, he's paid attention to me. Little old me. Insignificant, puny human being. I lift my voice to the Almighty in prayer. He hears me. He inclines his ear toward me. He pays attention when I pray. He heard my voice and supplication. While I was visiting with my friend the other day, he said, Bill, can you pray about anything? He's got a big business burden on his heart. I said, yes, you can pray about anything. And here are the supplications. As asking God regarding the burdens and the needs of our life, he heard my voice and my supplication. What a great, caring, sympathetic Lord God Almighty. And so then David is going to give his response to that. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, if you love him and God is listening to your prayer, what should you do? Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Awesome. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice, my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, I don't want to bring too much of this up, but my friend again asked me, Bill, when do you pray? And I said, hopefully that's the way I live. In one sense, I never stop praying. That's where I am. That's what a Christian's life is. It's a life of prayer. Not necessarily audibly all the time. But when you think about God, it glorifies him. And so, therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live every day. So he gives us this wonderful testimony. I love the Lord, and he gives some reasons. And then in verses 6 to 8, he'll give another reason that he delivered me. Let's read that. We'll begin at 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So David is going to give us a description of his desperate condition. Here's where he was. Now, this is the testimony of a believer. David is a man who loves the Lord, and yet he got into this terrible condition. in an event near death. His eyes were full of tears, and he was in a slippery place where he seemed to be falling. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So does a Christian always live on cloud nine and on this spiritual plateau of being the wonderful person? No. The Christian life is full of daily experiences. And our growth and sanctification is not a straight shot upward. It is a life, some growth, some leveling, some dips, some deliverance and restoring, and we go on. And David found himself in these kind of experiences. He's in a desperate condition. He said, I was brought low. Now, there's a thing in the Christian life where some people say, you should never be there. Well, in a sense, that's true, but it happens that we are. So it isn't always putting on a fake smile. And so when somebody says, how are you, pretending to be fine when we're hurting. I was brought low, really low. And he saved me or delivered me. And the first step in restoration is brought about by the Holy Spirit, who never leaves us nor forsakes us in this condition of being low, of facing death, and of having tears in our eyes and our feet from slipping or falling. Now, the term here is from falling. And because of eternal security, the Christian does not lose salvation, does not lose justification, does not lose forgiveness. So there is a deliverance here and a salvation from what? What happens to us in this condition when we're brought low? There is a delivering, restoring, bountiful grace that David speaks of, for the Lord has dealt bountifully. So he restores us, not to salvation because we never lost it, not to justification because we never lost it, not to forgiveness because we have been forgiven all of our sin, past, present, and future. What is the restoration? The restoration is to communion with the Lord. When we're brought low, we sense a loss of joy and peace and oneness with God. And that's what he restores and brings us back out of that desperate condition. So David gives us his experience, and now he's going to tell us of his response. And let's run through these because they are so important for our life. And on the back of the bulletin, there is an outline to follow that may be of help. The response of David to God's gracious deliverance. And let's pick it up at verse 8. You have delivered my soul from death, some tears, my feet from falling. I will live before the Lord in the land of the living, and so on. So then he also talks about returning in verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul. Return. There's a call for this in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. The Lord commends the church in Ephesus. Say, you're doing great, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. That experience of the great joy and peace and wonderful experience of realizing we've been saved, and we say, I love you, Lord, and then somehow that grows cold. And he says, return. Remember all the great things of your salvation. Remember your position and return to the rest of your soul in the Lord. Return. David says, I will return. Next, he says in let's read on verse 12. What shall I give to the Lord for his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. Now, the cup is a symbolic term. It's not going to be a literal cup. He's just speaking of the glory of salvation, a cup that has a life that has been filled with all the great things that God does for us in salvation. He says, I'm going to drink from that cup. I'm going to take it into my life, and that's going to become the way I live. I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, because that honors God, and it's what we need to do. Who do we tend to call upon in certain times of difficulty? Well, we try to do things in our own strength, so we call upon ourselves. We tend to call upon other people and rely upon human strength. We tend to wait for other people to make right decisions or do something for us. There are a lot of idolatries that come into our life. But David said, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will return. I will take the cup. I will call on the Lord. And then he said, verse 9, I will walk before the Lord, or that is, with the Lord. Now, there are several expressions about that biblically, of living or walking with God. It says of Enoch, Enoch walked with God, and God took him, translated him. He did not see death. As a friend of God, he lived with God. In the New Testament, we have some of the apostles who God was using them, working miracles of healing, and the city magistrates were after them to put them in prison, and it says that they took note of the apostles, that they had been with Jesus. I will walk with the Lord. Is that your life this morning? You're walking with him. Not going ahead. Not lagging behind. Not living independently. But living for him, with him, and before him. Living with the Lord. As he lives with us, and we live with him. This is the experience of our life. Do you live with the Lord? Does anyone around you sense that you live with the Lord? This is David's response. And then he says, I will pay my vows. Verse 14. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Well, he doesn't tell us exactly what vows he has made, except that he says, I will call upon the Lord as long as I lived, and so on. Vows are promises. And they are very, very important. They're important to us at a personal level because if we make a promise and break it, we lose our testimony, We have a troubled conscience. We lose our integrity. But at a spiritual level, when you make a promise to God, that's a serious business. Be careful about promising God anything. You don't really need to. You don't need to promise him anything because he knows you're going to break it anyway. Just be thankful for what he's done for you. Live before him. Love him because you want to. Walk with him because you want to. But David said, I'll keep my promises to the Lord. That's a good thing, but don't put yourself under that bondage necessarily. Then he says, I will offer thanks. Verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Strange words. Now, of course, with the sacrifice of Christ, we can make no sacrifice. His sacrifice ends all sacrifices. And we need to be wary of people who call upon us to do that or claim that we need to sacrifice today. We do not. So the wording here is, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That we can do. And that we should do because we want to. Now you have two terms here, offering and sacrifice, the same thing. So when we give thanks to God and we are thankful to him, we are making a sacrifice because we are offering it to him. We are bringing him an offering of praise and thanks, and that should be our life. Wonderful responses of David to God's bountiful grace. I will return. I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will keep my promises. I will offer thanks to the Lord. And then he says, I will praise the Lord. Verses 17 through 19. In 18 he repeats, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. This is important for us. We gather as God's people to praise him. You should individually be prepared to praise God when we come together. I should be prepared to praise God. That's what worship is. That's what we're about. It's hallelujah to Jehovah because of who he is and what he's done for us. I will praise the Lord. So here are David's great responses, that he has been restored by the grace of God, delivered from this low condition. Therefore, I will return. Not out of legalistic bondage, because this is in my heart. I appreciate what God has done so for me so much. I respond. Now that's all that we ever do, is respond. Remember teaching a Bible study at the Glendale Federal Building in Newport Beach for years, and there were several Armenians in the group, and I always used that word respond, and they did not like it because they were free willers who thought that they were doing it. We never do anything but respond to God's initiating grace. If you're thankful, it's because he caused you to be thankful. If you offer praise, it's because he caused you to offer praise. If you give an offering financially, it's because he put that in your heart to do it. God initiates, we respond. And that's true in salvation. I heard a man on television say last week, God will never force himself on you. He is waiting for you to make your decision. Well, even God doesn't have enough time to wait for you to make a decision, because you're not going to do it. You can't do it, and you won't do it. And he has to come forcibly, with power, with endowment, with empowerment. So work in our mind and our heart and our spirit that we are resurrected to eternal life, regenerated, and he causes us to believe it. That's a response. And we give him the glory and the praise, and that's the way our life is every day. Think about your life of response to the Lord this morning. And may it be as full as David's to make the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the title to our summer series of summer psalms is that God is awesome. Let's say that together. God is awesome. And because of that, we respond to him this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for invading David's heart and life and causing him to be able to write truth like this and lay before us a pattern of how you work in our lives. Now, Lord, cause us to be people who respond willingly, lovingly, humbly, rejoicingly to what you have done for us. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.